Welcome in the name of Jesus to our Advent service here at Trinity. And what could be better than to gather in God's house with everything dark and gloomy and distressing that's happening in the world? Here we come and receive God's blessings and gifts. And tonight we think about the blessings we have being heirs of the treasures that were promised to Abraham through Jesus. So let's stand and use the invocation and opening sentences. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Old Testament reading is written in Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." But Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, "This man shall not be your heir, your very own son shall be your heir." And he brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is written in the fourth chapter of the letter to the Romans. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations." In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, "So shall your offspring be." He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the gospel. It's written in the 8th chapter of St. John. The Jews answered him, Jesus, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, 'He is our God.' But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the first two verses of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. This is the text. In the name of Jesus, who has made us co-heirs with his glory, dear fellow redeemed. Many of you knew my brother Herb, used to be our district president here in Southern Illinois, and he went home to Jesus in March of this year. And recently, his wife, my sister-in-law, was going through some of his things, and she came across a couple of things that are from the Miller family history. I didn't even know they existed. One was a tobacco box. It was about a 6-inch cube of red wood. And inside was a little note that my grandfather had written. My grandfather died 12 years before I was even born. And I'm going to be 60 this week, so this is an old note. So anyway, the note said that, and this was written in 1945, that this tobacco box at that time he estimated to be 200 years old. And that his grandpa, Fritz Miller, had brought it over from Germany. And we're thrilled to see this box that's, well, practically worthless from any other point of view, but for sentimental value. And I wonder what you have in your family that's been handed down for generations, and I wonder what kind of a genealogy you have, a kind of a book or a listing of the ancestry in your family. From time to time at New Minden, we have people who want to look at the church records and map out their family tree. And maybe you're the person who's done that in your family. Well, can you imagine? Well, in our family, we're glad we have probably, well, this goes back about five or six generations, about 150 years. Fritz came over right after the Civil War with his big family. They settled in Indiana. But Jesus' family tree here is traced back 2,000 years, no less than 42 generations. Can you imagine having that kind of a genealogy, that kind of a family tree? Well, there's a reason for this, that Matthew goes through all of this, and it's not to bore the people who start to read the New Testament. You know, this first part of this first chapter gets a little discouraging reading through all the names, but it's all written down for us to teach us about the inheritance that we have through Jesus, the descendant of Abraham. Let's take a closer look. Now, God's promises to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations seemed ridiculous. The Lord God had called him from the land of Haran and told him to go to a new land where he would make him into a great nation, even though he was already getting quite far along in years. And in fact, God goes so far to tell him that all families of the earth would be blessed through him. And then God promised Abram that his wife Sarai, later named Sarah, would give birth to a son, and that they would have descendants as many as the stars in the sky. And Abram was old, and Sarah was past the age of bearing children. You know, there's a certain window of opportunity for a woman to have children, and that window had closed. But all things are possible with God. Abram believed God's word. And as Paul quoted in Romans, as it was first spoken in Genesis, the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. So from Abraham would come Isaac, then Esau and Jacob, and his descendants would continue to grow and number until this little baby was born in Bethlehem about 2,000 years after Abraham walked the earth, the baby we know as Jesus. Now, most people who spend time researching their genealogy are disappointed to find that there's no one particularly famous in their family tree. You'd like to find somebody noteworthy, somebody maybe that appears in history books, but that's pretty rare, isn't it? And Abraham, too, really was nothing special. Yeah, his wife must have been quite attractive because two different kings wanted to bring her into their harem, if you remember. But Abraham was so cowardly, he wouldn't even own up to the fact that she was his wife. God had to intervene so that no harm came to her. And when Sarah directed Abraham to seek an heir through her maidservant Hagar, Abraham failed to honor Sarah and instead had a child outside of God's plan. That happens in family trees, doesn't it? The father of many nations also passed on to his descendants a legacy of lies, deceit, and adultery. From Abraham, well, his descendants got sin, just like we all have it from our original father, Adam. Now, in Jesus' day, there were definitely some who found security in the fact that they were descended from Abraham. They were the blood descendants. And I would venture to guess that none of us here fall into that category. We probably, I'm guessing, all have our ancestors who came from Europe, not from the Jewish people in the Middle East, at least most of us. But these people in Jesus' time, they claimed to be offspring of Abraham and that they had never been slaves to anyone. That was ridiculous. Remember their years in Egypt? They seemed to forget about that. And they failed to see that they had been enslaved by their own sin. Whoever sins is a slave of sin, Jesus said. Just like Abraham, their father, sin had ensnared them. And unless they were brought to faith in Abraham's greater son, they would be lost. They would reject the promise of God. We are indeed children of Abraham in this sense that we cannot be saved by our lineage, by our obedience, by our good deeds. Paul demonstrated very precisely that Abraham was not counted righteous by the works of the law. Like Abraham, we've failed again and again. We've fallen into the same sins repeatedly. And like the Pharisees, we've too often trusted our background, our heritage. Oh, my parents were sincere Christians. My grandpa was a preacher, whatever it might be. It doesn't matter, does it? Those things are not going to save us. So Abraham can be a lesson in humility for us. We do not place our hope in our birth, in a birthright, but in the one who was born for us. God looked upon Abraham and Sarah in their need, and in love he promised them a son. God looked upon the world in its need and promised his son. God most certainly kept his promise by sending that son, Isaac. But the ultimate way that Abraham and Sarah and all creation, the way that their needs were met was by the sending of God's beloved son, Jesus. Jesus was the son of Abraham, sacrificed in the place of Isaac, Abraham, and all those descended from them. The promise that God made to Abraham is fulfilled each time a child is marked with the sign of the cross upon the forehead and upon the heart to mark them as redeemed by Christ the crucified. It's also accomplished when God's promises are proclaimed and people are brought to saving faith by the work of the Holy Spirit. God continues to raise up children for Abraham as you are made sons and daughters of Abraham through faith in Jesus. That's what we heard from Romans, right? It's all about those who have faith. That's who the children of Abraham are. The promises God made to Abraham have been kept. All the promises of God find their yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Often the songs that the kids sing, they seem like simple songs, but they give us profound truth, right? I'm thinking of the song, Father Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Right arm, right foot, left foot. You know that song, probably. Yeah, I'm a child of Abraham, and you are too, because of faith in Jesus Christ, who fulfilled these amazing promises that God gave to this man. During World War II in England, one of the most ominous sounds was the sound of the siren that went off when there was an air raid. For a nine-month period, 1940 to 1941, the Germans attacked Britain's airfields and then their cities with nightly bombing raids. The sound would start quiet enough, but would continue until it reached a spine-tingling trumpet sound. And that constant threat of the sirens over those months led people to dread the sun going down. And it was during this time that Reverend Eric Milner White was serving as dean of the famed King's College in Cambridge. Understanding the fear that gripped the people, he wrote a prayer befitting the people's uncertainty. And this prayer is in our hymn book on page 311. He taught them to pray, "Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." Such words describe the uncertain path that Abraham walked as he trudged toward a new unseen land. Now, like my great-great-grandfather Fritz, when he came over, he knew where he was going. But when God called Abraham to this new land, he said, "Get up and go to a land that I will show you." You know, and Abraham just had to trust God would lead him, God would show him, God would bless him there. We're on a path too, a path of our lives, and God is calling us to walk by faith, not by sight, to walk by what we hear with our ears and forget the troubles, the sorrows, the distractions that we see with our eyes. We have so many temptations that are surrounding us and preying upon us. There's these sirens blaring all the time, aren't there? They're not the impending bombs in an air raid, but there's, well, all the trouble we're having with COVID. It seems every day it's something new that pops up with that. We have all kinds of anxiety about our nation. But God forgives our fears and our doubts, and yet the way can be full of trouble. In the case of my great-great-grandfather, they did not find America to be a happy place, at least at first. Very soon after they settled in Indiana, he died. He was just in his 40s. He left all these kids and his widow. And then, in those days before title insurance, the bank foreclosed. Turns out the farm that he had bought was heavily mortgaged, and the banks came and they took just about everything. And some of the kids had to be farmed out to Perry County, Missouri, and it was a lot of heartache and mess. But they had the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they handed that down, and God be praised that it's still in our family today by His grace. Because we sometimes wonder in our family, well, what would have happened if he had kept all that land and all that property and his big dreams had come true for earthly prosperity? Well, we have a better inheritance. We have an inheritance that will never perish or spoil or fade, the free gift of everlasting life that Jesus, the Son of Abraham, earned for us all. So our confidence is that God has made us sons and daughters of Abraham by faith in Jesus. Just like Abraham, we're looking forward to a better country, a place where these troubles will all be forgotten and done away with. A place where there'll be no more sin, sorrow, death, pain, suffering, disease, all gone, all done with all of those things. So we're bold to claim Abraham as our father. not because of something special about him, but because God's promises to him and all his promises are sure and certain in Jesus. Amen. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the opportunity to gather this evening. We ask you, Lord, to bless our nation, bless our leaders, bless those to whom you have given authority. Bless all those who are dealing with this pandemic, making decisions, carrying out policies, seeking the dissemination and production of the vaccine. All those who are on the front lines in the hospitals, the nursing homes, everywhere in the medical profession, educators, those whose jobs have been lost or threatened. Lord, we commend them all to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those in care facilities, Eddie, Thretta, Ronnie, Ferris, Bill, Helena, Esther, Bessie, Sam, Brian, Bob, and Betty, we ask that you would be present with them, O Lord. Comfort and help them in body and soul. Strengthen their faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For Cheryl, who is soon to undergo surgery, we ask, dear Father, that you would put your hands upon the hands of the surgeons and allow their work to be your work so that they would be agents for healing in her life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For Janelle, who is hospitalized, that you would bless those who minister to her, that you would cause their work to be effective, that you would cheer her and her family during this time of separation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those with ongoing health issues, that you, Lord God, the great healer, the source of all strength and life, would bless and sustain and help them, especially Deb, Beulah, Amy, Janet, Alma, Laverne, Carlene, Richard, Teddy, Verdell, Leon, Marvin, Linda, Daryl, Todd, Matthew, and all cancer patients. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior, in whom we have the free gift of the inheritance of eternal life. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, and we treasure the partnership, the communion that we have together in the one faith, your brothers and sisters in Christ at St. John's, New Minden, and St. Luke's, Covington. So thanks for letting us share that a little bit tonight. And remember this Advent and Christmas time when you talk about your relatives and your ancestors and crazy aunts and uncles, whatever it might be, the most important thing about your family is that you have Jesus as your brother. And that's the good news for this Advent and Christmas time, and through him, an eternal inheritance. Thank you.
To have you join us for worship today. Merry Christmas.